Good morning. So you're wondering what's that got to do with the community? Yeah, great clip, isn't it? From the movie Elf several years ago. Did you notice the interactions? Of course you did. It's ridiculous, but it's so true to real life. Because Buddy was in his own little world. He was looking at Miles through his eyes, his kind of a parameter. And so of course, oh yeah, you must be the elf. And he was so insensitive in one sense, but so kind of a self-absorbed, and he was oblivious to the world outside. And on the other hand, Miles, yeah, he was offended, but there was something that the anger that was welling up from within, and he had to take Buddy on, Will Ferrell. And that's how in real life can be, and it is for all of us, isn't it? Now, we may not physically throw somebody onto the table, but deep down, there might be an anger, or sometimes frustration, or just like, leave me alone, right? And that's because all of us, people, are messy. They're unfinished, and they have a lot of issues, right? Yeah. So we're talking about community. There's more than a dozen groups that are kind of going to be showing up on the website this coming week for you to sign up. And I'm sure you'll find one that you would love to be part of, but then the first day of actually going there, what you will face? People with lots of problems, right? Until then, oh, this group looks perfect. The Truth Project. Wow, I get to know all about the biblical truth. And then you show up, and all these weird people that I have to associate with. Yeah, people are hard to love. And maybe that's why we tend to gravitate toward seemingly easy to love people. But even then you realize, the more you get to know them, in fact, there's no such thing as easy to love people. Well, what are we going to do? See, when I first came to Adventure, I thought Randy was perfect. Amen, yeah. And then he was sharing last week, if you were here last week, that, you know, he can have that drive, but that can become also his, what, lifesaver, right? Meaning life preserver, meaning that's how he wants to save himself in the eyes of people. And I've experienced that with Randy working closely with him. You know, sometimes he asks me to do something and it takes me a couple of days to get it done. And then, and by the time I get it done, Randy goes, oh, I already did it. Why? But I bring my own issue too, because my life preserver is being nice, right? Being nice. And some of you got to know me enough to say, oh yeah, Jonathan is nice. Oh yeah, right. But yeah, that's an easy way for me to keep distance, right? And some of you have that life preserver, to be nice. And if I try as hard as I can to be nice to you, and if you make me mad or if you offend me, then what? It's your problem. It's not mine. See how that works? That's ugly, man. So, but that's how all of us are. We bring out life preservers to these community groups, and when things get a little bit hot, then that's how we deal. Yeah, people are messy. They're unfinished. But despite all of that, to be in a community, if you really want to experience the power of community that we've been talking about, that you've been in part experiencing here at Adventure, hopefully, and even more so, that is to really commit yourself to loving one another. And in fact, that was the heart of Jesus. Let's see. Jesus says, I do not ask for these disciples. This is the prayer that he prayed just before he was delivered to be crucified. He says, I do not ask for these people, these disciples only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be all one. Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Just think of it. Jesus, the Trinity, God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Perfect fellowship. He's looking at this Holy Trinity and said to you and me that I want you to be as close, as tight, as one as we are. Can you imagine that? That's what he wants. In fact, last week, Pastor Jeff, sharing the journal, hearing God's voice saying that this is what I live for. God lives for this kind of a community. A close, tight, strong knit of you and me, believers, living as one. And I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly, perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. This is the heart of Jesus. This is the heart of God for us, that we may be one. Now, if he says that, it's possible. It's possible for us to experience. At least experience far more than you and I have experienced in our lifetime. There is more to be had in terms of the unity, the closeness, the strength that comes from it in a community. That's the heart of Jesus. And he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Again, here is the idea of community being one, just as I have loved you. And you also are to love one another. And by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one another. Isn't that amazing that Jesus here doesn't say, if you perform all these miracles, that the world will know that you follow Jesus. He doesn't say, if you pray long enough, you pray hard enough, then the world will know that you follow Jesus. No, he says, if you and I love one another, that's the way that the world around us will know that we're followers of Jesus Christ. That is the heart of Jesus. Again, in a little bit later on in John, it says, this is my commandment. He repeats himself as his time for crucifixion approaches. He repeats this commandment or these words to his disciples. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. What a sacrifice. Somebody said that we learn to surrender to God on a daily basis. But one of the greatest sacrifice or surrender that God is asking us is to lay down the power to leave. The power to leave. You have the power to leave. You have the power to leave this church. You have the power to leave the community group that you're going to join. And society today gives you the power to leave your marriage, your parents, your children. You have the power to leave a person. And sometimes God says, I want you to surrender that power. And Jesus did. In one sense, he surrendered the power to leave his disciples. Hey, just forget it. You're not worth it. No, he says that here, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Here's an example of leaving or surrendering the power to leave. And Jesus stayed with his disciples to the end. And that end was to lay down his life for his friends. Wow. That's what it takes to be a community. But it's worth it. We've been learning that power of community, power to transform us, power to transform the world. The church, the community of believers, true community of believers, is the only hope in the world. Now, so how do we do it? How can we lay down our lives, so to speak? How are we to love people who are hard to love, who is practically everybody? So let's watch this video clip from 24, and I want you to just put on a kind of an analytic hat and eyes on to see the interactions of these two individuals, especially the person named Chloe. And let's have a little bit of a discussion after that. So what's going on here, Eddie? Come on. Chloe and Kim, right? What did you observe? You can respond. Come on. Yeah, Chloe seems unemotional, okay? Yeah. Okay. Okay. She's trying to protect her. Maybe protect herself? Yeah, good. Anything else? Anything you've observed? Yeah, a little bit awkward. Yes. Good observation. Yeah, pushing when probably that shouldn't be the way to go, okay? Yeah, apology. Maybe she meant it, but it certainly didn't come across genuine, did it? Wow. Okay? Maybe, yeah. And where do you think that comes from? We don't know. Now, again, being a TV series, this may seem exaggerated, or you may feel like, yeah, I know a guy, or I know a gal just like that, right? So what do we do? What do we do with people like Chloe? Here's the scriptural kind of a summary of how to love. It says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Hey, by the way, Paul is amazing because even as he begins to give us commandments or the commands of, okay, this is how you are to love one another, he appeals to who you are first, your identity. Who you are in Christ. Look at this. It says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. I used to just write that through and then went to, oh, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness. Oh, wait, don't go so fast. Let's just park right here. God's chosen ones. You are chosen to reflect God's Trinity. You are chosen to take the message of life. You are chosen to be the light of the world, salt of the earth. You are chosen to bring liberty, freedom to the oppressed. You are chosen. You are set apart. You are holy. And you are first and foremost beloved. You're not giving love that you don't have. You're giving love that God has already lavished in you and through you. See? That's who you are. Doesn't that give you a different perspective as you look at somebody else, whether within the church or outside the church? Paul says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So, let me break that up into several components. First one, roses have thorns, meaning that when we deal with people, we realize that all of us are broken, all of us are unfinished, and all of us are messy. Regardless of how we may look from the outside. And so beautiful roses have thorns. And if you just grab a hold of roses, you know you're going to get hurt, right? That doesn't mean that you will crush the roses or that you don't enjoy its sweet smell, but you just recognize the reality that, okay, roses have thorns. Yesterday, my family was picking blackberries. And you know how it goes, right? If you are not careful, thorns get you. But still, that doesn't deter us from going after the beautiful, sweet berries. And we made a blackberry pie last night and enjoyed it, right? So we need to just be aware of the fact that, yeah, when we come in contact with anybody, everybody, they are unfinished. And Jesus knew that. Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people and needed no one to bear witness about man, for he himself knew what was in man. And I think that here, it's not just saying that, yeah, men are sinful. No, what it is saying here is that Jesus understood human nature. That we all have wounds, we all have past, we all have our own glasses through which to view the world. And we need to be wise in that sense. And second, don't be offended. It's a sin. Whoa, did I just offend you? It is a sin. It's interesting, Jesus talking about the end time, he says this, and then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. The word fall away in Greek also means offended. It says that the many will be offended and betray one another and hate one another. Can you relate to that? Unfortunately, I can. I have been offended many times in the past. But the problem is, when I feel offended, it's really the issue is me. When I feel offended, usually pride gets in the way. But Jonathan, I was really wrong. Yeah, I know. So was I. But instead of me, as a follower of Christ, trusting God to say, God, I was offended, I was wronged, it takes humility to go to God. It takes pride to say, I need to be righted. Right? So when we feel offended, that's when easily pride gets in. Or put it this way, actually, when the pride is there, we get offended. And then what happens? Then we start to become defensive, right? Then it's easy to betray one another. And then once that sets in, hatred sets in. And so Jesus talking about the end time here in Matthew 24 is actually talking about kind of the snare of the enemy. How enemy can easily take us away from the love of God. And in the end it says that love of many will grow cold. When we allow ourselves to be offended and don't deal with it in humility, take that to God and say, God, I am wrong, but I trust you that you are the righteous judge. I trust your power to make right this wrong situation. Then we could be taken away into sin and the division will set in. And unfortunately, many of us will have that experience in churches, right? Where people feel offended, and either they leave, or people feel offended, and the church splits. So don't be offended. It's a sin. Okay, and number three, ask God, who is this man or who is this woman? Meaning that we want to be able to see beyond what's on the surface. I'm going to have Eric come up and share what he experienced not too long ago. So come up.
Jonathan asked me to come up and share a story that happened to me a few years ago. I was in left turn lane, and the lady in front of me was, you know, playing with her cell phone, and the light turns green, and she's playing with her cell phone, and I'm waiting for her to go, she's playing with her cell phone, and so I go, beep, beep, hey, the lights turn green. So she peels off, and I follow her, and then I go into the right lane, and she slows down and comes alongside me, and then reaches all the way across the passenger side to give me the finger, and as she's doing this, she doesn't notice that the car in front of her has stopped. So as she's reaching across and looking at me and giving me the finger, she bumps into the person in front of her, and we weren't going too fast, so it was just a fender bender, nobody got hurt, but I, of course, thought this was hilarious, right? I'm like, yeah, look at that, it's the karma, and then I promptly forgot about it. And then a couple weeks later, I was feeling pulled in a lot of different directions. I had this relationship that was really important to me, and I had this opportunity to be a game designer, and I also had opportunities in performance. So I was really having a hard time, and I was working on my private pilot license at the time, so I was having a hard time managing it all. I felt spread really thin, so I was praying, asking, what should I focus on? And I was very surprised by the answer. I had my eyes closed. I just, in my mind's eye, I was in a minivan, and I just gotten in an accident. And I'd just gone through this horrible divorce and was losing custody of my kids. And I just found out that my dad had cancer. And I was in this really horrible, horrible place, having just gotten in this accident, on my way to meet my kids, who I only see once a weekend. And I suddenly felt very ashamed that literally the worst problem in my life was that I had too many awesome opportunities to know what to do with. And I was having a good laugh at somebody who was obviously in such a horrible place that they needed to lash out at anybody around them. And I realized that when she was giving me the finger, it wasn't really directed at me, because it wasn't about me beeping to tell her that the light had turned green. That isn't what sets people off. It was about the hurt that had happened to her, and her flipping me off wasn't directed at me. It was directed at that hurt. So that's my story.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, Eric really didn't find out what was going on in her life. And yet it's so easy for us to see the circumstance and kind of judge that person, right? And Jesus says, or the Second Corinthians, Paul says, that we regard no one according to the flesh. We need to go beyond what appears to be and go to the heart of the matter. And so if somebody's angry at you and he feels like, whoa, where did that come from? I just, you know, commented something, it seems minor. You're such an angry person. No. That would be looking at the person according to the flesh. If you belong to Jesus, God has given you the good heart. And we need to be able to see through the circumstances and the facade and go to their hearts to see what is going on. Why are you reacting like that? And you know that from your own experience. When you're mad at kids or friends or a coworker or at home with your spouse, very often they're not the source of your anger and frustration. Something happened in the course of the day, or maybe days ago, and that's festering in you, and you are frustrated. So with a little thing, maybe just the music is too loud in your kid's room, and you get mad, right? But it's not coming from the source that you think it is. The source is somewhere else. And we need to remember that. Just one word about the good heart. At Adventure, we often talk about the good heart. It is true that the Bible clearly says that we turn against God, and therefore we do not know how to understand the goodness of God as well as the God-defined goodness. Yeah, humanity can do good things, but we, in our own strength, cannot really please God. And thus, our hearts are darkened. That's what the Bible says. The same time Jesus, who came to save us, has given us new life. And that means new heart, new inner being. Here it says in 2 Corinthians, we're a new creation. At the core of who we are, that's what we mean by the heart, we are new. But Jonathan, still a lot of Christians can do sin and hurt each other. How's that work? Yeah, sometimes I don't understand. But the scripture is clear that we have been given a good heart, clean heart, a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. But we also live in this world. We also have this flesh. We also often operate what we call the old operating system. We have our way of things that are still kind of part of us. And those things, I think, show up. And we end up hurting each other. But last week, as I shared with you, one of the things that really transformed me is to realize that God has given us the clean heart, the good heart, the noble heart, which enables me to look at anybody, and especially in a tough situation where my tendency may say, oh, just forget about them, I can say, no, God has given them good heart. She is a new creation. That gives me the hope, and that gives me the question to say, oh, then why did he act that way? Why did she say like that? Because God has given them new heart. Okay, number four, truth in love. We're to speak truth in love. And that means that sometimes we have to take the hard road. And to do that, here are practical guidelines. Ask permission. I didn't. One time, long time ago, right after a seminar on marriage, I got so excited. I went to a friend's house, and the first thing I said, how's your marriage with your wife? Oops. I didn't ask him permission to say, hey, can I talk about this? So ask permission. And the way you can talk about it is, you know, you can share how you or I experienced you. Instead of you are this or you are that, you know, because I have my own issue too. So I may not experience you the same way somebody else does. So I want to be humble about it, honestly. Say, hey, this came across this way, what you said, you know, I experienced it a little bit harsh, or is that just my issue? just opens up that dialogue rather than kind of a judgment or say, you are this or I'm not that. And then also, if you do that, you want to be willing to be reciprocal. In other words, give them permission to speak into you. But again, that's community, isn't it? It's not just a one-way thing. Okay, and then the last one, commit to loving them. Sometimes nothing works, but you just says, hey, I'm going to love. And John says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and God is love. And there is no power that is greater than the love that comes from God to break down any stronghold, any barriers. Okay, so these are the five things that I want you to kind of think about. Let me go to that. And then I want to leave with you a couple of questions, and that is, one of these five things, which one kind of grabbed your heart as you move into this community group? Where would you like to focus? What is God asking you to do? And lastly, I want to just say a few words to men. When I read these passages, put on compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, and bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, and put on love, I didn't know really what that meant until, to be honest, I came to Adventure. And that was because I didn't know myself as a man. It makes a world of difference when you begin to realize, gentlemen, that you are created men after the image of God. Not just a person, but a man. And when you realize that you are created as a man of God, then you begin to read these passages totally differently than you ever imagined. And how do we become a man? Here's another thing I learned since I came to Adventure. Only a man can bestow true manhood, true masculinity onto you. Hopefully it is your father. But you may have missed it, as I did. Is it too late? No. There's a way to regain that. Recapture your true identity as a man of God. And as a man, you are to love, you are to forgive, you are to be humble. There is so much strength in there. Randy?